All right, greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we're also on the eSETI Stargate, the official YouTube channel, and it's grown leaps and bounds. Again, we've got at least 80 affiliates in 40 countries, so things are really taking off here. There's a very strong interest in what's happening, and I know people have been really feeling these waves of energy coming through. The last one just came through, and people are still reeling from the effects of that. Just remember, you're not alone, and it's a good thing, but sometimes we're going to have to chill out and go within and clear this. It's bringing up a lot of external processing with people, a lot of projection, a lot of blame, a lot of people working their stuff out right now, and it's creating a little bit of chaos in people's lives, but it's actually a good thing because these things are all coming up to be healed and released. So good for those who are taking personal responsibility for what they're feeling and not projecting and blaming and trying to work their own issues out externally, which never works. It never has and never will. Anyway, so there's so much to talk about right now. I want to tell you that we're getting our website up right now. We're revamping everything. We have a whole new system. So bear with us. We don't have the conferences up yet or any other gatherings or workshops or anything, but we've got a great lineup this summer. So give us a little time and we'll have that up probably in the next couple of weeks. And that being said, my guest tonight on the show is Dr. Michael Sala, and he's an internationally recognized scholar in global politics, conflict resolution, and U.S. foreign policy. He's taught at the universities in U.S. and Australia, including the American University in Washington, D.C. Today, he's most popularly known as a pioneer in the development of the field of exopolitics, the study of the main actors, institutions, and political processes associated with extraterrestrial life. He's been a guest speaker on hundreds of radio and TV shows and featured at national and international conferences. His Amazon best-selling secret space program book series has made him a leading voice in the truth movement, and over 5,000 people on a day visit his website for the most recent articles. So without any further ado, I want to bring Michael on the show. Michael, are you with us?
I am, James. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's always great to see your face and hear your the latest updates. I think you're probably the first and foremost go-to guy right now, as far as what's really happening within ufology and the secret space fleet and Corey Good and all these other things. And I don't want to spend a lot of time in it, but I'm just curious as to, I mean, you've been involved in this whole kind of mess for quite some time. And I was wondering, do you know the story behind, I mean, why are people so insanely angry at Corey Good? I mean, it's almost like he's personally gone to each person's house and slapped them or something, the way they're acting. It makes no sense whatsoever. So maybe you can make some sense out of this.
Well, you know, Corey is someone who came out in 2014, and, you know, there was a lot of controversy in the way he came out. I mean, he definitely didn't want to come out. He was quite happy to just share his information privately, but he was outed. And so there was a falling out with some people on this Project Avalon forum. And that kind of created the foundation for a lot of bad blood and a lot of backbiting and a lot of attempts to kind of like poison the well, if you like, when it came to Corey Good. And so there has been a concerted campaign by a number of people to really kind of warp public perceptions about Corey. Now, you know, what it is that's driving it, is it just, you know, a falling out, personality driven, or is there something deeper? Is there something that comes from, you know, some agencies wanting to discredit Corey? Because, you know, one of the things about Corey is that he does reveal the full story. You know, he doesn't give a kind of limited disclosure narrative that seems to be the kind of flavor that we're seeing coming from different organizations like, you know, Tom DeLonge's To the Stars Academy a lot of UFO researchers. So Corey's kind of trying to spill the whole thing. And so there's a lot of pushback, a lot of attacking. a lot of attempts to try and make him out to be just, a wild storyteller without any foundation. But in fact, I've been working with him since early 2015, so it's 5 years now. And in that 5 years, I found nothing in his testimony that makes me suspect anything other than he's telling the complete truth as he knows it, and that he's probably one, if not the most well-informed person on the planet about multiple secret space programs. So, it's insane for people to kind of like dismiss him without looking closely at, what he's been revealing, what stands behind him, and the kind of documentary and a lot of the evidence out there that does support him.
Yeah, I think anybody who is authentic and that steps outside of the controlled narrative, they're going to have issues. They have major issues with. And I've seen some things like when you go back to the Rockefeller Initiative and all the people behind that. It even goes into some other darker stuff I don't want to talk about, but this whole network right here, when you step out of the controlled narrative, they come after you, and they come after you big time, and they start sponsoring and supporting anybody that will come after you publicly, and they get behind it. And I've seen, just because of their own in-house fighting, I've seen they're fighting over one getting paid more than the other, and how come I didn't get this much, and others, all these other issues between them, how come I'm not getting the limelight? How come I'm not getting that spot on a certain network we won't mention because I'll probably get sued. But, it's all promises of fame and money and everything if you'll go after, Corey and Wilcox and anybody else who associates with them. And that's where I've got most of my heat. Everything was fine here until then. But, I'm not. To me, I really, public opinion doesn't really matter to me. It never really has. And, they can say all they want. I can look in the mirror in the morning and feel great about the work I've been doing in myself. So I'm good with Soros. So that's all I need to know. But all this other stuff that they're trying to dig up, they're just trying to find any chink in the armor they can to take things down or discredit people or whatever. And it's a pretty monumental effort out there. And, but I've seen a lot of the people they've so-called employed to do this or brought in to do this are not really right mentally. They even admit it, that, they're paranoid schizophrenics or they have substance abuse programs and things like that. You keep seeing these and you just go, but I've been trying to get to the core of this. What is driving these people to do what they're doing? And it even goes into unseen negative influences that are having a really hard time with bringing this information out. They don't want it because I think about, okay, what are they so afraid of? Are they afraid of bringing out the fuelless energy, the anti-gravity, the counter-gravity? Are they afraid of the med beds, the healing technologies? Are they afraid of us learning that there's more to our history than we've ever imagined, that it might include star nations and other off-world beings? The bearded gods were real, but the Anunnaki were off-worlders that came and colonized the Earth. So all this stuff, it almost seems like every single one of those things would be a threat to the status quo. And those who want to maintain the status quo and keep people enslaved through dependency and ignorant and things like that, it seemed to be that network is what's coming out. It's coming out of the closet right now and coming after, again, anybody who is authentic and who is in service to others mode.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's been around for a long time. It didn't begin with Corey Good. In fact, I looked at some of the kind of classic contactee cases, going back to the 1950s with George Adamski, Howard Menger, George Van Tassel, all of those guys. I mean, exactly the same thing happened to them. I mean, these were guys that truly were, like Corey Good, ambassadors. I mean, these were ambassadors who had face-to-face contact with different extraterrestrial civilizations. We were bringing a message to the rest of humanity, and they were attacked. And the ones that did most of the attacking were UFO researchers. You know, yeah. You go back to the beginning, it was like, it was the same group. And when you look at it, it's like the same kind of characteristic. It's like these, you know, these narrow-minded individuals that have this kind of like approach that they think they are scientists, and that anyone that doesn't have, you know, the kind of evidentiary information that fits their impossible standards gets attacked and gets dismantled. And it's been going on because I think fundamentally what you have here is a clash of worldviews, that there are a lot of people that really aren't ready for this, you know, like especially UFO researchers. Yeah. You think people involved in UFO research are ready for contact, but they're not. No. You know, they're just kind of like trying to say, well, this is all about lights in the sky and all about empirical data we can get about, you know, whether this photo is real or not. But, you know, at the bottom line, it's like, well, are we being visited by extraterrestrials? Are they making face-to-face contact with people? And a lot of these researchers aren't ready for that. It's kind of too shocking for them. And similarly for the general public, it's like goes outside of their reality. So, you know, we've been trying to kind of like expand people's thinking to get them ready for this. And, you know, Adamski happened in the 50s, and you know, that's nearly 70 years ago now, where you had that wave of extraterrestrial contacts. And now we're at a point where maybe we are ready as a culture for people to really accept the fact that we are being visited by extraterrestrials. They're here. They're much more evolved than us. They can help us deal with our problems. But, you know, we need to open our hearts, open our minds, and not get, you know, too rigid, close-minded, and start attacking people.
Yeah. What was the guy's, was it William something? Giant Rock. What was that? What was his name?
George Van Tassel.
Oh, George Van Tassel, yeah. And there's another William guy. I can't think of his name. But, yeah, I had the original tapes, those big reel tapes of him talking and things like that. Wait, a long time ago. What? And I donated him to another ufology guy because, you know, I probably wasn't going to do anything with him. But that area, that I was raised in Apple Valley, California, right there. And where Ralph Ring and Otis Carr were building that ship, that was like in my backyard, basically. And we saw that. We saw those things. And my parents, my dad owned the hardware store that sold the Swensons all their farm equipment and everything in Roswell. And my grandmother talked to the sheriffs, the first responders. And, you know, the second day after they had the event, they couldn't even hold a coffee cup. And they were so shaken up. And they go, Elizabeth, we're not alone, you know. So it's weird that my whole family connections and where we've lived and everything seems to flow along with that. And, you know, I don't want to talk about stuff too much, but my dad used to pull over on the road, and as kids, he said, get out. We'd go, why? Why? He goes, get out. Just get out. And he'd get out. And he'd stop. He'd pull up. There'd be five ships, like, hovering right over the car, you know. So I mean, I've had firsthand knowledge of all this stuff for so long. And when people like Corey Good come out, and I know people that have done all of the back engineering and everything else, I know what we do have. It's far beyond anything we can imagine, basically. But we just don't have, you know, metal anti-gravity ships. We have ships that are jumping frequencies and things, you know, far beyond anything people imagine, and traveling far beyond light speed and things like that. So, you know, and then when Corey came out and started talking about these things, and, you know, on Mars, you know, I was told in the late 60s that we had bases on Mars, that we were already on Mars and things like that. So all this information I was privy to when Corey came out and started talking about it, I said, finally, somebody's going past that barrier that, you know, they're going past that barrier of nuts and bolts. Is it real? Keeping it way in the past or in the distance, some 60-year-old story. And they're finally getting beyond that. And I go, finally, he's breaking that barrier. And then, boy, all hell came loose when he started breaking that, you know, breaking out of that box, that controlled narrative. And that's what I see. There's a controlled narrative. And I know there's people all the way to the top, the highest bankers and whatever you want to call them, Luma Donkeys or New World Order guys or whatever, that they're it comes down and it goes into the Rockefeller Initiative, and it just keeps coming down the pike, and the money and the finances are going to those that play ball. You know, those that will stay within the controlled narrative. They're first and foremost, their face is there, you know? And when you look behind these guys, you go, wow, there's the very people. They're like planned opposition. You go, there's the very people they're talking against are actually in their back pocket. They're right behind them. It's almost like they're sock puppets for that same group, you know? So I don't know when people are going to figure this out or get wise to it, but, and I haven't really talked about it that much, but being in the field with all the evidence we have and being totally shunned by the UFO community itself, I had to start looking at what's wrong with this picture. And it makes no sense at all. You know, why would you shun that much evidence? Thousands of eyewitnesses, triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed Skunk Work engineers, pilots, Air Force base commanders, all coming on record saying, I came to SETI, I saw the ships, it's real. And even testified on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. So, I mean, it's there. The videos are there. The photographs are there. It's all there. And I had to start looking deeper. Why am I totally being shut out of almost every major UFO conference now? You know, and then, you know, that's the thing. You know, you start going outside the box, and eventually you're just going to disappear.
Yeah, it is a big problem. There is a kind of narrative, a dominant narrative out there, and you know, those that can work with it or work within it, you know, they seem to do well. And if you bust the narrative, if you go outside of it too much, it's just like you know you are shunned. You're kind of like,
oh, yeah.
Put it out there, and you know, and one of the things that I'm happy with at the moment in terms of my own work is that I, you know, when I first began, I was really focused on extraterrestrial life and contact and, you know, just experience what you've been talking about, just being marginalized, being put outside, and just not, you know, not whether it wasn't being invited to conferences or just being totally ignored. And, you know, I realized that it's like, you know, when you're too far outside of people's narrative, you know, what the mainstream are talking about, it's very hard for them to even kind of like, you know, give you the time of day. So, but what I've been doing, and this is why I'm very grateful to Corey, because he really kind of opened me up to the existence of this secret space program and just how extensive it is and how it operates throughout our solar system, throughout the planet and beyond. And it's something that a lot more people are willing to pay attention to, like the existence of a secret space program that's been reverse engineered from advanced technologies recovered from, you know, all different sorts of places. But, you know, but a lot more people are open to the possibility of secret space programs being real. And now, you know, and then it's all about, you know, how far do you open that box? I mean, I try to open it as much as I can. But certainly, you know, Corey's done, I think, the most in really making this whole secret space program genre something that, you know, touches on everything that UFO researchers and contactees have been talking about for decades.
Yeah, it seems, I know we can actually experience less than 1%, not even that, of the universe in which we live. You know, it's a multidimensional universe, and all the physicists understand this. They all agree there's at least 11 dimensions out there, but they're demanding physical proof of non-physical events, and that's not scientific. You know, like if you have an apparatus that can, and we do, we have things that can go into 4D, like infrared, goggles along with infrared spotlights and things like that. They have even ultraviolet ones now that can actually go into the other dimensions and see things. We have that technology, but, you know, and they're just starting to realize that all this stuff is real. And they've got ghost boxes now and all these other things. But, you know, these things, we have photographs of these ships and beings phasing in and out, becoming almost physical, and then phasing out. And Peter Splatter's done some great work with that in Australia. He's got some amazing photos of beautiful ships, you know, metallic ships and beings, everything. And he's also another one that's majorly shunned in the field of ufology. They just will not. I've tried to get him in several places, and they just will not open that door. And I don't know what their issue is with him, but I think he's probably, if not the most documented contactee on the planet, you know, right now, as far as getting the evidence and the really good stuff. And he came here and he had Kuan Yin appear in his bedroom, you know, and he got a photograph of her. Amazing, you know. So there's so much more to going on. But, you know, when you get out of that 1%, you got of the physical world, you know, you get beyond that, then that's another thing that people either go, well, it's all nonsense, or it's evil, or it's, they have all these other stigmas around that too. But it's sad. But, you know, the big question I ask is like, well, where have we gone in the past 60, 70 years? You know, we're still trying to prove the ships exist. We don't even know who's on them. You know, what's their culture like? You know, how do they live? What kind of laws do they abide by? Do they have a spiritual practice? You know, what kind of medical technology do they have? I mean, we don't even go into those areas. And I just go, you know, this, what a golden opportunity for humanity. And then again, you have to ask, why is that so shut down? And again, it goes back to a controlled narrative and the enslavement of humanity and the earth, that those that are behind all this are the same group that are behind what's going on.
Yeah, that kind of whole enslavement thing, the idea that a lot of these programs date back to Nazi Germany, and that the Germans began working with a very aggressive imperial reptilian race and have established off-world bases and have actually gone outside of our solar system in these kind of like as a kind of space mercenaries, you know, and that there have been military forces from our planet that have been kind of recruited into these imperial space missions. You know, that are doing all sorts of terrible things outside of our solar system. I remember Alex Collier. I don't know if you have ever interviewed him, but he was someone that told me, I guess 15 years ago, about the reputation humanity has out in the galaxy. And it's a terrible reputation. Yeah. Now I understand why. It's because what they know of is, you know, the representatives of humanity in terms of these, like, Nazis that are, you know, space Nazis. I mean, people can laugh at it, but it's like it's very real. There are space Nazis out there who are using a lot of the resources of the Earth that are hooked into the military-industrial complex, the Fourth Reich, doing all sorts of terrible things out in space. And that's how people get to learn about planet Earth and humanity. It's just like, oh, okay, that's what humans are like. We'll keep away from them.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, like this is really off topic, but when you go out of body and you go into these other things, or you have these dreams or visions and you meet some of these beings on the other side, and they do, some of them are kind of like a little smug. Oh yeah, you're from Earth, you know. It's almost like they pat you on the head and go, okay, well, you'll grow up soon. You know, you'll figure it out. You know? Yeah. But most of them are very, very loving and in awe of us just walking down here, you know, in this soup and trying to turn it around. They're very grateful for that work we're doing. But I wanted to go into, it's very confusing for a lot of people as to who is who, because this space fleet seems to have so many compartments to it or controlling factions. Could you kind of explain what your research has brought up as far as like, I mean, how much of it is positive? How much of it is negative? How much of it is neutral? And are they working with the benevolent beings as well?
Well, you know, with our Space Force, you know, what I wrote about in my last book, the Air Force Secret Space Program, Shifting Extraterrestrial Alliances and Space Force. Basically, what I described in there was that the Air Force has gone through a major shift. It's begun working with Nordic extraterrestrials, the human-looking groups, and basically has moved away from the reptilians.
Great.
That the Air Force, the people running the covert space program on behalf of the Air Force, they realized that they've been lied to all these years and that they were being manipulated by the reptilians and the Germans who have their bases on Mars now. I mean, Mars is the headquarters for this Nazi German space fleet that grew out of Antarctica in the 1940s and 50s. So they're located on Mars. So the Air Force has been kind of working with those guys and those groups for a long time, but only since around 2017, 2018, the Air Force began to break away and began to disclose, what it's been doing. And that's when you had the Air Force base over at MacDill in Florida, Tampa, Florida, being hit by Hurricane Irma, because basically the Air Force was breaking ranks. So they were using weather warfare against the Air Force. Then you had the Hawaii missile attack in January of 2018. So that was done by the deep state. That was done by the reptilians and their kind of like Fourth Reich allies. And the goal was to start a Third World War, to basically make it look like it was a nuclear attack from North Korea that launched this weapon, this nuclear missile against Hawaii and basically detonated on Hawaii. So that was supposed to be a nuclear attack against Hawaii that would start the Third World War. But it was shot down by the Air Force Secret Space Program. And they did that because enough of them realized that if they were going to really get the best space technology, they needed to start working with the Nordics. And the Nordics always said that if you want to develop these kinds of advanced technology, you have to develop spiritually and ethically more. So the Air Force has been going down that track. So that's, to me, really important for understanding the genesis of Space Force, because Space Force is really the white hats within the Air Force, within the Navy, coming up with a plan for how to unroll or how to just kind of like roll out all of the secret space technologies that have been developed for decades now. So their idea is they would create a new military service, mm-hmm. and get that new military service to reveal the flying triangle ships, the flying saucer ships, the flying rectangle ships, and now you've got these kind of like smaller cigar-shaped ships, the tic-tac shape. So this is all going to be rolled out as part of Space Force, and people are going to think that, all this is new tech that is part of what the Air Force and now Space Force has been secretly developing for the last decade. And that way they get the technology out there. People's minds are blown. People now start to want to recruit, want to enlist for Space Force. People get really excited about the potential of serving in space. So it kind of like really starts to generate a lot of hope and a lot of enthusiasm around space and being out there. And that's really good because, in a way, what it does is it opens up people's hopes, aspirations, and their hearts for space. And that's really critical for us actually going out there and breaking the quarantine. We have to get beyond this kind of lockdown mentality where we're the only game in the universe and really expand. And the Space Force is a kind of step in that process. And after we have Space Force in operation for a few years, that's when I think they'll be ready to tell us disclose about extraterrestrials.
Yeah, I heard something just recently about something like 400 billion Earth-like planets out there, after they brought the Kepler telescope out. And, that greatly increases the odds of, what a waste it's for space, that's not inhabited. And I'm sure some of them are thousands, if not millions or billions of years ahead of us in evolution. So who knows what they got. But I think about that, how much that could really help this civilization. We could clean up our water, could clean up our air. We'd have fuelless energy technology. We'd have anti-gravity, counter-gravity. It on every level, it would just totally free us up, free up the society. And especially with the healing, you know, technology that they have, that would make a lot of these huge doctor bills obsolete. But, and to me, it's like, that's kind of why I'm in this, basically, because I know what they have and how they can help us. But I'm sure you are too. And I know too, that's one of Corey's main drives as well. You know, even in the military, you see these guys without arms and legs, you know, that served in the military, and you go, they have these med beds that can totally regrow a limb and things like that. And you go, how can they let their own go like that? How can they leave them in that condition? And I'm wondering when that flip is going to happen, where there's enough that it's going to roll over and say, okay, now we're going to use all these technologies to clean up the planet, to restore health, to help, you know, those that have lost arms and things like that. You know, are we any closer to that flip where it's going to start moving in that direction?
Yeah, I think we are getting closer to that. I mean, one of the things that was very interesting when Trump was elected president after his inauguration, this was something that Corey told me about. And basically it was that Trump issued a secret memorandum to the different intelligence agencies, giving them a timetable to release their national security holds on over 1,000 patents.
Yeah.
And a lot of those patents dealt with the areas that you were just talking about, like free energy, alternative healing methodologies, things that would make the planet and life a lot easier and a lot better. You know, because currently, this is something that is fact, that there's over 5,700 patent applications that have been held up under national security orders. So yeah. This basically, and these patents deal with these topics. So by Trump getting, you know, putting out that memorandum, you know, it's like he starts the ball rolling for these technologies being declassified. And I think that's also a major part of what's going to happen with Space Force, is that as Space Force comes forward, a lot of these technologies are going to be released. I mean, a lot of the patents are going to be released, and they're going to go into the public realm. And that's going to shock the scientists.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it even now, you know, just how the scientific community is reacting to these Navy patents that were released by this Navy scientist, Dr. Salvador Payes. Mm-hmm. And one of the patents in particular, it's a nuclear fusion reactor. And this nuclear fusion reactor, it's mobile. You can build it to scale. So you could put it in a ship, you could put it in an aircraft, and it can generate enough energy, you know, incredible amounts of energy. He says that some of the larger ones can exceed like 1 terawatt of energy. And that's incredible, because when you think about it, the world's largest nuclear reactor complex is in Japan, and it generates 8 gigabytes of total energy. Whereas this nuclear fusion reactor generates 120 times more, and it's fully portable. So you can put it in a ship. So this is where you get these ideas of, you know, kilometer-long space carriers being able to take off and go off into deep space. You can actually have floating cities. You know, the whole thing. You know, I mean, remember in the Vedantic texts, they talk about floating cities.
Yeah,
that's possible with this kind of technology. You can generate enough power so you can actually have cities that actually are floating in the skies. I mean, this is something that's out of this world. Now, you know, a lot of scientists, when they looked at these patents by Salvador Payes, they trashed it. They said, this guy is talking pseudoscience. It's a lot of psychobabble. There's nothing real to it. But the thing was that he had a peer-reviewed paper published by this prestigious electrical engineering journal that basically discussed this nuclear fusion reactor. So even though a lot of the scientists are trashing this and saying it's not possible, yeah, I have other scientists who are more open-minded saying, let's take a look at this. Yeah, this is real. So it really is, you know, breaking that that kind of mainstream narrative, that kind of like closed-minded worldview that exists, to open the mind to start looking at these really incredible technologies that are right there, that are slowly kind of like being released through these patents and through Space Force, because in a few years' time, these technologies are going to be out there. And and this was something that the Brookings Report identified. They said that the community that's going to be most shocked and most depressed by announcements such as extraterrestrial life existing are scientists, because the scientists are really the most closed-minded of all communities.
Yeah, they don't even use a scientific method, to look at things. We've had things happen here where we've gone on record. We did it with Paranormal State, Danny Dyer, all these guys, even Fox News. We came out and we told them exactly when and where the ships would appear, and they appeared exactly when we said. And we did the same thing with Ancient Aliens, and that was just here, but I got scrubbed out of that entire thing because they didn't want my information out there. But they missed it. We told them exactly when and where this massive ship came over. They all saw it. The crew all saw it. And they missed it. They missed the whole thing because they're too busy getting me out of the picture. But, it's sad, what these guys are doing right now. And I just say, they're all about they're not about education. They're about entertainment, basically, and keeping the questions going and just keeping the – and they should be really covering this kind of information and the things that Corey and other people who are actually having contact or proving they're having contact and have the videos and the photographs and the thousands of professional eyewitnesses to back it up. But the more, it seems like the more evidence you have, the more proof you have, the more you can validate all of this. And if you give a message again outside the narrative, the controlled narrative, you're going to be shunned, pushed back in the corner and ignored altogether. And to me, it's like, excuse my language, I'm not butthurt about it, but it is a real disservice to humanity not getting this out. And I think the people that are suppressing this need to take a hard look at themselves, and those that are continuing to promote this status quo thing and keeping the narrative controlled, maybe it's time to start calling them out and just say, hey, I want answers to the other questions, the stuff that you guys are refusing to address. Like, who are they? Have they been here before? Again, what are their cultures like? Do they look like us? Do they look different than us? Like all of these questions, we really need to start asking questions like that. And the main question is, how can they help us? And how can I create an avenue for them to help us? How can I hold space that they need for contact so they can interact with us? And that, I think that's the most important thing, because if you can't hold a frequency or raise your consciousness to meet them halfway, there's no purposeful good in them contacting us. It's like we're showing them we're not ready.
Well, that's right. That's important. The raising the consciousness, being able to meet them. And that doesn't require any kind of official announcement from governments at all. It's all it requires is, that we as individuals are more open-minded, more loving, more empathic to one another, and we raise our consciousness and we learn about the contacts that have occurred, whether we were inspired by what happened in the 50s, whether we're inspired by what's happening with Corey, what's happening up at a city at Mount Adams with you, these things that inspire us to kind of like look deeper into this. And, we know we're being lied to. We know the mainstream media doesn't cover this, but that doesn't stop us. We can still learn. We can still get the truth. We can, listen to lectures. We can go to a SETI and watch the ships, or we can attend some of the seminars that Corey is doing, and we can kind of learn the information and get ourselves ready, because, just because the rest of society is dominated by a mainstream narrative saying that all of these stories of extraterrestrial contact are nonsense, it doesn't stop us as individuals exploring this. And sometimes that's where the greatest growth happens, when you are opposed, when there are real costs. Like, I'm sure you paid heavy costs what you've been doing. I actually know you have, you know.
Yeah.
I have, Corey has. Yeah. Anyone that steps out in this field and speaks truth, you get slammed for it. And, you know, you lose your careers, you lose a lot of finances, you lose homes, you lose family members. I mean, a lot, you pay a lot of costs, but at the end of the day, you feel that you've done the right thing, that, you know, you followed the path of truth. And while you may have paid a personal cost, you feel better for it. And, you know, eventually the rest of society will come around. But, you know, you've probably reached that point yourself, as I have, which is that, you know, if they have official disclosure in another year and they say, oh, you know, everything you've been saying, James, or what I've been saying, Starla, is correct, and we're heroes, then, you know, fantastic. If it doesn't happen and it's another 20, 40, 50 years, you know, and we go and we transition to the next realm, it's not going to bother us too much, because we know we stuck to the truth. We tried to help where we could. You know, we were loving and compassionate whenever we had the opportunity. And we really did have that kind of deep affinity with the star visitors and everything they brought, and the wisdom and the kind of energies that they introduced into our lives.
Yeah. There's God, there's so much going on right now. I'm trying to think of where to go with this. We can go spin off in 30 different directions on this, but I'm just trying to stay focused on basically, you know, why. You know, to me, there's two things I want to know, is that why is bringing in this technology that people need to look at? Why is this such a threat? You know, why are the people that are authentic, that do have the evidence, that have backed it up for 30-something years like we have, you know, why are they such a threat? And then who are they a threat to? I mean, that will give you all the answers. Those two questions, why is this such a threat? And who is it a threat to? And that's the questions that people need to be answered. And then we have to realize, too, there's a lot of people playing this game that are keeping the narrative controlled. And they're playing this game to take out anybody who is stepping outside the box. And then we have to ask again the same thing. Why are they doing this? And what's backing it? You know, what's behind it? And, you know, who's behind it or whatever. And those answers all seem to go the same direction. It all goes into the same direction. And some of the answers and some of the people involved in continuing with this massive cover-up, it even goes into like Luciferian satanic stuff, even other dimensions. And that's the thing that people need to realize, that, you know, this war isn't a war of flesh and bones. It's a war of, you know, principles and spirit, basically. It's beyond that. There's something much bigger happening here. And from my understanding, it's a good thing, because all this higher dimensional energy is pressing in on the earth right now. It's pressing in and bringing all this up for people to look at. And it's going to really rock a lot of people's worlds and upset their apple cart and, you know, all their beliefs, their limiting beliefs in science and religion and archaeology, everything. That whole apple cart is going to get turned over as this comes in, because it's truth. It's universal law, you know, and that's what the higher dimensional beings keep telling me. You know, they talk about God, but they talk about a omnipresent creator. It's not a male, not a female, not a little old man with a beard like the ancient gods of old. They said it's the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions, you know, throughout the multiverse. It's beyond anything we can imagine. But they said that consciousness and those higher dimensional beings that are holding that consciousness, that's pressing in on the earth right now. And it's like a big pressure cooker, and it's just pushing everything up. And it's coming in waves, and those waves are exponentially getting stronger and stronger. And that's why you're seeing all this suppression can't be suppressed anymore. You're seeing the suppression of women, the suppression of knowledge, the suppression of all these suppressive programs are now coming to an end, you know, and we're seeing who's doing it and who's behind it, and a lot of healing, and some has gone a little bit too far over on the pendulum, you know, in their healing process and have to come back to center. But all these division games and everything, those are all perpetrated by other beings, seen and unseen. There are some even feeding off of all this division game and all the separation game. And so it's a multidimensional event that's going on. And when you get into that, you get outside of that physical nuts and bolts realm or just the basic institutions on earth realm, and you get beyond that, that's when, you know, everything comes at you.
Yeah, it does seem that we're at a really fascinating time in history that, you know, typically, you know, we've been here before, like in terms of like in the 1900s, you had kind of like humanity at a similar point where there was, where they were ready with Tesla and Marconi and all of those technologies to really expand their consciousness. And then they got hit by the First World War, which was totally contrived by the deep state, by the Luciferians. They contrived that basically to create chaos and suffering amongst humanity, just to stop the growth in consciousness, to help us move into that kind of Aquarian age of higher consciousness and greater awareness of who we are and our place in the universe. So, but now we're at that same place again. And sure enough, the dark forces, the Satanists, the Luciferians have tried to create false flag events to create this kind of third world war. But every time the white hats, you know, whether they're from Russia, whether they're from the United States, whether they're from China, have come in to stop all that happening. So all of the false flag attempts to start a third world war have failed. So now the whole kind of attempt to stop this growth in consciousness is failing. And so now we are seeing it. It's really, you know, for me, it's really interesting to see how in the United States and the political scene, both major parties, you know, with the Republican Party, you know, they have their systems buster in Trump. Now with the Democrats, they're going to get their systems buster with Bernie Sanders. And to me, that kind of shows how the controllers have failed, because they can't get their candidates, you know, whether it's Jeb Bush or the McCains into the Republican presidential position, or, you know, with Hillary Clinton or people of that ilk into the Democratic to become the Democratic candidate for president. So they're failing, and that to me is a sure sign that this year and after this presidential election, we are really going to see things move really quickly. A lot of these technologies, a lot of the things that have been kind of like constraining our consciousness evolution is going to collapse. And I think we're in for a really wild ride. I think it's going to be really good, with a lot of, you know, a lot of things being disclosed, and, you know, kind of like the apocalypse in terms of like the unveiling.
Yeah, the great unveiling. It's definitely on, you know, and I just see that it's all going to increase exponentially. This great unveiling is going to get more and more and more unveiled, and can't hide anything anymore. And also karma seems to be accelerated at the same time, so people are, their karma is really coming home. You know, I saw a good example. You look at the Weinstein thing, you know, that happened there. And, you know, you look at that guy, he's on a walker now, and he can't even get into the courtroom, and he's just done. I mean, that guy's over with. And look at what it brought him. Look at that type of consciousness, what it does to your body, your physical health, your on every level. I mean, so, you know, I think people are starting to realize that, you know, people worship these guys, look up to them. They think it's their ticket to fame. You know, it's their ticket. And now they're starting to realize that maybe they're throwing their eggs in the wrong basket. You know, it's and I think that's really good that all this stuff is being exposed right now. And I've always been, you know, the Epstein thing and all that stuff. It's finally coming out. And I know all of us have been working to get that information out and say, take a good look at who's running the show here and what they're doing off the camera, or what they're doing behind the scenes and in dark, nefarious little places, you know. And I think that's all going to come out. And I think it's great. And I know Trump also signed, you know, he's got a major thing to stop all the trafficking, the child trafficking, everything else. And most of them are women on those boards that are, they're doing that. And I feel that's the divine feminine coming in, and the women are standing up now. And, you know, you don't mess with kids and women, you know, that's not going to work out too good. And so I'm really glad that they have, you know, a voice and the power to do something to take this, to put an end to this. So there's so many things that I don't know why they're not talking about all these things that he's doing, the positive stuff. You know, all you hear is the negative, and we know that's because the deep state owns the negative. They own the news, this corporate news, basically. But I mean, if people really looked into it and saw all the positive things that are coming out right now, and the freedom coming back to the people, and really becoming a true republic, we're going back to a republic, which is what we always have been. And the people that want socialism, just got to do your research. You know, it's never worked in the past. It's always ended up with all the power and wealth going into the hands of the few, and they take away your guns, and then they use them on you. So that's the common, all the major dictators of the past were socialists, you know. So, but I do see, what I see is a point where, and I hate getting into politics, is Bernie and his group have a point. You know, we really need to start taking care of everybody, maybe create, stop this gross uneven dispersal of wealth, put pressure on those that have all this wealth to start putting it back, helping people, you know, helping those less fortunate, things like that. You know, there's a truth, something there that we need to look at. And then, but we can't go into socialism. We have to maintain capitalism because it's the system that we have the most freedom in right now, where everybody's independent, you know, and things. And so it's our true, a true republic, I think, is probably the best system we have. And, but they both have their points. And I think eventually, as all this new technology comes in, it's going to create so much abundance and health and everything else, is that we're even going to step away from the money and the lack and the poverty. All that stuff is going to be something of the past. And it, you know, if we allow these things to come forward, and we'll probably have a whole different government, I think. It'll probably be, at the top, it'll be some kind of galactic council, you know, and then district.
I'm going to be really fascinated in seeing how the inner earth civilizations do it and how the extraterrestrial civilizations do it, the positive ones. How, you know, how do they deal with this kind of thing of socialism, capitalism? How do they deal with this kind of money? You know, do they have fiat currencies? Do they work on a barter system? Well, it works for them. And so, you know, we're cut off from all of that. But I think once we start to open up and have this kind of open contact with these different civilizations, both, you know, the subterranean civilizations and the extraterrestrial civilizations, we're just going to have different models. And we're going to say, oh, okay, well, that seems to work for the inner earthers. Why don't we try that? That works for the Venusians. Why don't we try that? I think that's where you're going to go.
Exactly. And the whole thing about these structures we have in place are basically to keep people, you know, enslaved, keep them in poverty, keep them sick, keep them. These systems are all, it's like the war and disease profiteers to keep that thing going. That's all going to come to an end. And when that comes to an end, we don't need these systems anymore. It's going to be, we don't even need money. You know, if you got a replicator, what do you need money for? If all your transportation needs are met for free, and your fuel, you know, heating, all that stuff, how much is that going to free the people up? And you know, you just look at that, how freeing all this is going to be. How would that clean the planet up? You know, you get rid of all the fossil fuel, burning fossil fuels, everything else, and you know, all of that. When you look at that whole system, it's like the mindset of, okay, you have a car, right? And people go, oh, I want to get a car that gets 50 miles to the gallon. And you say, okay, well, what if you use a car that use water? And I know these technologies exist, that they can actually treat the water and take it wherever they want, and it still works, you know? So that's here already. And then so you go, well, yeah, well, I guess gas mileage wouldn't matter. You know, if you had the car ran on water, there'd be no emissions, there's no carbon base or anything else. And then you go, well, what if you didn't need fuel? And they go, what do you mean? You know, well, what if you had a electric car? with one of these free energy devices in it. You know, you could drive anywhere, you know, and that's the next step. And they go, well, I guess that's a possibility, you know. And you go, well, what if you didn't need tires? And they go, what do you mean? Well, these things are, this free energy device you have is actually counter gravity. It'll lift the whole vehicle. And now you don't need tires, you know. And you take them through a series of steps. And then you say, what if you said I could get up in the morning, pop in my vehicle, go to Australia and have breakfast, you know, go to Japan or Zimbabwe and have lunch, you know, go to, and you know, it's hard for them to get around that. And then the next step you go, well, what if you wanted to have breakfast on another planet and you stepped into one of these portals, you know, and you know, it's just where they're at. How do you have to take people from one step to the next step to the next step. And it's hard for people to wrap their head around that that's even possible.
Yeah, well, the technologies are there. They're being used, but it's being used by that small sector of the population that has access to that highly classified world and secret space programs. But, you know, this is something that can be ours, you know, very, very quickly. And, yeah, it'll change our mindsets. It'll change our consciousness. So, you know, to be able to move from one part of the planet to another really quickly, or to go off planet, it'll change our civilization. So I just hope it happens quickly, with as much harmony as possible, you know, because we've got a huge planet, you know, huge population on the planet, and it's just like, yeah. Well, you know, how do we manage that transition? You know, I'm seeing the signs already of, like, you know, what happens as they introduce AI and automate society much more. And you know, people are given these really stark choices that, well, you know, if you don't go down that transhumanist agenda, then you're not going to be able to compete in the future work, you know, work industries or corporations. So, you know, we need to embrace, become transhumanist or something. So, you know, that's where I think we're going to have a big challenge in the years ahead. You know, do we go down the path of raising our consciousness to be able to deal with all the changes that are coming, or do we go down the path of, you know, the transhumanist agenda, or let AI do it all for us to become slaves to AI?
Yeah. Well, the bottom line, you're not going to send with all that hardware on you, you know. It's a major distraction. It's actually going to hold your frequency down. So, you know, we have to do it in more spiritual practices. You know, unfortunately, we're hitting the end of the hour. I wish I had a 3-hour show right now, but we've covered so much. But what's the best way for people to get in contact with you and you know, stay up on all the events that you've got planned and your new books coming out and everything else?
Sure. I can just go to my website, exopolitics.org. All my information is there, articles, new books. I have a new one coming out. It's called Rise of the Red Dragon, Origins and Threat of China's Secret Space Programs. That comes out in April. So, yeah, they can just go there. And there's a lot of material I put up there. And I have a Facebook and Twitter feeds. So you can kind of like join that. And I put out all of my stuff and, you know, what's going on. So just want to thank you for having me, James. And I'm really looking forward to joining you again up at Mount Adams in July.
Yeah, July 4th event. We're going to have Michael Sala, Corey Good, and quite a few others. A great lineup. We'll have that up on the website soon. But anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Keep up the great work. And to all our audience, I just say keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and that will carry you through these times. Have a great evening.